Blog Talk Radio.
Unbothered, impermeable, unbothered, impermeable, unbothered. I'm the people's champ, Obama, and you don't understand. Melania, permeable, unbothered, sick, allergic to the con artist. Fake woke, an imposter. Only real ones up in my roster, like Junior C. That's my roster. You know I just.
How would I maneuver through all of this? Finally, I thought of Ali in the middle of the yard. In his elder years, drawing from his victories and his losses. At that moment, I realized something new about this, the greatness of Ali and how he carried his crown. I realized that he was transferring something to me on that day. He was transferring the spirit of the fighter in me. He was transferring the spirit of the fighter to me. He was transferring the spirit of the fighter to me. Sometimes you need to feel the pain and sting of defeat to activate the real passion and purpose that God predestined inside of you. God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Graduating class, hear me well on this day. When you have reached the hilltop and you are deciding on next jobs, next steps, careers, further education, you would rather find purpose than a job or a career. Purpose crosses disciplines. Purpose is an essential element of you. It is the reason you are on the planet at this particular time in history. Your very existence is wrapped up in the things you are here to fulfill. Whatever you choose for a career path, remember the struggles along the way are only meant to shape you for your purpose. When I dare to challenge the system that would relegate us to victims and stereotypes with no clear historical backgrounds, no hopes or talents, when I questioned that method of portrayal, a different path opened up for me. The path to my destiny. When God has something for you, it doesn't matter who stands against it. God will move someone that's holding you back away from a door and put someone there who will open it for you. If it's meant for you, I don't know what your future is, but if you are willing to take the harder way, the more complicated one, the one with more failures at first than successes, the one that has ultimately proven to have more meaning, more victory, more glory, then you will not regret it. Now, this is your time. The light of new realization shines on you today. Howard's legacy is not wrapped up in the money that you will make, but the challenges that you choose to confront. As you commence to your path, press on with pride and press on with purpose. God bless you. I love you, Howard. Howard forever.
Wow, that was powerful.
Yes.
That was powerful. What a message.
That's why we had to start the show with that. That That speech was like 30 minutes long that he did at Howard University. I forget the year. But he did that speech at Howard University, which was his alma mater, and it was worth every it would have been the whole show if I would have played the whole thing. But if anybody wants to listen to it, there's a whole thing that's like 30 minutes long. So that was amazing.
Absolutely.
Every
Absolutely.
Speech that he has done has been amazing. Even interviews, just listening to him talk has been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
For anybody that we kind of started, like we just kind of jumped right into it, but that was Chadwick Boseman doing the commencement speech at Howard University, which is the college that he went to. That was the one where he had Felicia Rashad as his professor too, right? That she got him into Oxford University through the kind heart of Denzel Washington.
Wow. Because
that speech was beautiful too. That speech with him talking to Denzel, that I was just like, oh my goodness. I'm just tears are streaming down. It's like you think about
everything
to dedicate. Yeah. And it's like the words that you saw that they you could feel that they were authentic.
Mhm.
And
he just seemed like such an authentic person, period.
Yeah,
were you gonna say,
and
Daddy?
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just going to
say
the Kondike. No, I was going to say the Kondike. Do you remember the brother Jabari Ozazi that came and did that presentation for the social workers?
Yes.
Well, Jabari and Chadwick were good friends. They worked together.
Oh. Oh wow.
Yeah. Aww. And also, you know, King Simon, another brother, you know, there are pictures of him and Chadwick, and because Chadwick was very much into martial arts, and he used to study African martial arts, and King Simon, you know, a good brother that does promotions, worked with him. There's a picture of them together. Chadwick was part of the community. He worked in a program with Jabari. In the community. That's how they got to know each other. They worked together. Jabari said that he was dedicated to the community. That's why it's not surprising that he took the certain stances that he did as he went through life. And that presentation that he did at Howard, he lived that. He lived that out.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so it's important to understand that he doesn't want saying it to be saying it, that there is evidence that this brother was very real about his representation in Hollywood and what he wanted to do and how he would not take parts that would be anything less than an upliftment for the African-American community.
And the evidence of that, when he was 26, I used to watch All My Children when I was in high school. And I remember Michael B. Jordan being on the show. Like, I remember that. But I didn't realize until after Chadwick passed that he was the original person that played the part of Reggie. I didn't know that. But he brought, and he talks about this in that same Howard speech. But he was talking about, you know, he was 26 years old and Michael B. Jordan was 16. So he had that role on All My Children. And I believe that he said it was his first role in film, like on TV or whatever. And he felt like it was a stereotypical racial thing. He felt like it was stereotypical and did not have a true backstory. So they were just throwing stereotypes into a black person, but not giving the foundation of how it got to be and why, you know. So he spoke to the people that wrote this, like he spoke to the important people. And at some point, I think that was his last day. They let him go, but by the time Michael B. Jordan got the role, it had been reconstructed with his suggestions. But they didn't want him because they said that he was difficult. So they chose not to take him. They chose not to keep him. But they also took
what he
said
into
consideration. But he made it better. And sometimes your role is to make something better. Like sometimes it's not about you being and doing. Sometimes it's you opening the door and making the platform for somebody else. Because look at the full circle that came around. Him and Michael B. Jordan ended up playing in a movie together. And they ended up being the best of friends. Like, all the interviews that I saw, they were together. Like, they were together in all the interviews for Black Panther that I saw. And that's why, as much as he had a right to grieve, I was waiting to see what he said. Like, I wasn't one of those people that were like, oh, he needs to say something because he should have the time. He didn't even need to come out as fast as he did. But I knew that that was going to be something that when he talked about it, it was just, like, heartbreaking because they ended up getting really close. And because of Chadwick, Michael B. Jordan's role ended up being something that he could be somewhat proud of, more proud than if it had stayed the way that it was. So it's very interesting how people are in your life for a particular reason. And we, like, as human beings, we think that what we're doing is what we're supposed to be doing for ourselves. But a lot of times what we're doing is supposed to be for other people, not necessarily something for you. So that was I said that because of what you said, Daddy, because he's been like that since he was a kid. So I just wanted to add that because of what you said.
Let me take what you just said, and I'd like to show you or tell you a personal experience. And at the same time, connect it to something else that is more present. Many years ago, before I was married, before I did all I used to enjoy roller skating. And the roller skating rink that I went to in Manhattan on 57th Street, you didn't just walk in. You know, it was on the order of Studio 54 where you were chosen to come in.
Mm-hmm.
And I was online. There were other people, and this was many different. It wasn't just a black roller skating rink. There was peoples of European, Asian, you know, all the different descents there. And when it got to me, I presented a case as to why he should let me in. He was German, because I remember his name was Schatzky. And I gave him a case as to why I should go in. And he argued back with me, and I argued back with him. And I really was speaking for the group that was around me, which included people of European descent. We went back and forth, and I had such a persuasive argument as to why they should let me. I was really speaking about me, but I was speaking about us because of the group that was assembled at this point, ready to go into the roller skating rink. What he did was that he let everybody else in, but he wouldn't let me in.
Mm.
The reason why he didn't let me in is because his white supremacy made him feel I had a persuasive case, and he let other white people in, but he didn't let me in because he didn't want to give me the satisfaction that I had won. I could give you two other cases, but I'm going to keep it short because that's what they did to Chadwick Boseman. Their white supremacy did not allow him to win his argument, so he played the part. So while they listened to him and they obeyed him, they did not
allow
him to know that he won. Now let me take you to Colin Kaepernick and the head of the Football League. That admitted that he made a mistake by not listening.
Mm-hmm.
He never mentioned Colin. The reason why he couldn't is because he realized he made a mistake, but as a white man, he didn't have the moral compass to say, Colin, you were right.
Yep.
You were right. He didn't have the decency. He didn't have the morality to say, somebody needs to hire Colin.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have it in him.
They said everything else, but that he was right. That Colin Kaepernick. I don't think they could even form those words to say about a young brother. Did everything that they're doing now.
That's right.
And
to the point that folk are on their knees.
Yes,
cops are on their knees.
It's become a staple within, but he had to be that sacrificial lamb in a sense where he had to be the one to, you know, to be blackballed, or what, however you want to call it, for others that came behind him to prosper. But that, I mean, that is just, for me, I feel like that whole situation, you know, and how they're responding now, and then how, like, they're with the jerseys, and, you know, how the NBA is responding to, you know, everything that's going on. I feel like Colin Kaepernick was so ahead of the curve and ahead of the game that he had to be the one to sort of stick his neck out in order for others to be able to do what they're doing.
All movements have their sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All movements. The reason why Jesse Jackson could live was because Martin Luther King died. The reason why Minister Farrakhan was able to live is because Malcolm X died. For all movements forward, when you're in hell dealing with the devil, there's always sacrifice to be made in order to get to your desired goal. That's just the way it is. And many times it is the innocent that are sacrificed. That's part of it. This is what Bob Marley means in Redemption Song when he says, how long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look?
Some
say it's just a part of it. We have to fulfill the book.
And
he said this years ago.
Yes.
Everything that he said or done has been so relevant.
Yeah, he's said a lot that has come to fruition. A lot.
Last song on his last album, which was All Lullaby Ladies, if you remember. Have no fear for atomic energy, because none of them can stop the time.
Mm-hmm.
Atomic energy just wasn't bombs. Atomic energy was Western civilization.
Mm.
Have no fear for Western civilization, because nobody can stop divine African time.
Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with Chadwick, because he would not. He said in interviews that there were many roles that he was asked to do, and he didn't care. He didn't care how much money he was losing,
mm-hmm.
and he still, everybody that talked about him, like, just the way people talked about him like he was the greatest person they ever met. When they talked about his
mm-hmm.
energy, just him being in the room, like Lupita just put something out today that it was just, and it's on our discussions in the Black Instagram if anybody wants to check it out. It's in the story. It was like the way that she described him. There are very, very few humans that even have that ability to be that great. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, he just, when he walked into, like, but even just watching him on television, just watching his interviews, he was, you
mm-hmm.
could feel the energy through the TV. Like, you could actually, you could feel it. And it's unfortunate, but it also
reminds us that he came into our lives and on our screens and, you know, as our idols for our kids and for even us as adults. You know, we were blessed enough to be able to see it play out, and for him to be who he was, a superhero, you know, in his real life. And it allows
mm-hmm.
us to sort of idolize and aspire to be like, you know, it shows that there are some good people out there. There are a lot of amazing people out there. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, we can't stand alone in this. And, you know, his morals and ethics allowed him to be who he was unapologetically, and it'll still
mm-hmm.
allow him to prosper because he was at the top of his game. You know, even being so sick, and even when he taped it, he probably was, like, recently diagnosed or right before he was diagnosed, because he had it for, I think, 4 years. So it's like the
four
fact
years,
that he was
got
still
it
able to
right
grind.
Before.
Yeah.
Right
he was
before,
able to grind
right
to do
Black
stage
Panther.
Three,
mm-hmm.
too. Stage three. And
yep,
just be
right.
able
he
to do it with a smile
three.
On his face. Yeah, no, it's just, it's amazing.
And laughing. Yeah.
Yeah,
and
He was a happy person.
Seven movies. Right. And he did seven movies. And he did all of his own stunts. He came before everybody. He made everybody feel good. And he was the co-producer on Marshall and a producer on 21 Bridges. So he
battling this disease.
Right. There was something that they put on, that Lupita put on Instagram, and it was, let me see if I can find it. I think I posted it on mine, too. It was something like, take your time. Wait, hold on. Let me try to find, because it was just, oh, here it is. Take your time, but don't waste your time. Like live in the moment, but do what you want to do. Like, and that's just the way that I took it. It might have been something
different for other people.
But you have to live in the moment. You don't need to go to a concert and record the whole concert. You have to live in the moment because you have no idea how many moments you have left. You have to live in the moment, but you also have to do what makes you happy. And move forward and do what makes you feel good.
Nothing is promised. Tomorrow's not promised to you.
Yeah, yeah. And for nobody. It's not promised for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
you never know.
Yeah, and it's sad what happened because we're humans and we believe death to be sad and we all cope and grieve in different ways. But there's so many people that know how great he is now. Like the same thing that happened with Nipsey Hussle. There's more people that know. Like I knew how great I loved Chadwick all the time. Like everything that he's done, I've watched has been amazing. But you really begin to feel how great he is, and it's unfortunate that you feel how great he is when he's no longer here. But you really see how he really changed the world just by being with certain people, even while he was sick. He was visiting St. Jude's and visiting the children in St. Jude's Hospital while he was going through what he was going through. So he spent his time, like, he did all of those movies, all of these different things, spent time, you know, with his loved ones and still made time for children that was going through what he was going through. So it's unfortunate that we have to find out so late, and I'm sure more people knew about him from before, but a lot of us found out all the greatness all at once he passed away.
Yeah.
That's the way it happens.
Yeah.
Nobody was Christian until after they crucified Christ.
Wow.
You know, most of the greatest movements, the greatness of Bob Marley came after he died. He had just broken the U.S. He had just broken through the U.S. Music industry with the song Could You Be Loved. I was following him from 1975. He became the icon he became after he died, because after he died, people started listening to what he was saying, and all of a sudden people started saying, but hold on, this is good stuff here. This is much more than what I thought it was. But most of the time, you know, like they say, in fact, in one of his songs, I think it's Ride Naughty Ride, Bob Marley says, the stone that their builder refused will become our head cornerstone.
Mm.
In other words, you know, what this society, what Eurasian society casts aside as worthless, will become our head cornerstone. And an example of that is George Floyd.
It's everything.
You know, George Floyd was somebody that I heard people say, why him? Why did it have to be him that did this? Why is it his name being called all around the world when there were other people far more worthy? But who are we as humans to decide who the Creator chooses to become our head cornerstone?
Right.
The stone that their builder refused becomes our head cornerstone. George Floyd, a brother who spent time in prison, a brother who was struggling in life like so many brothers and sisters in our community does. Nobody knew him. Mm-hmm. They walked past him.
Yep.
Yet he is the one that everybody around the world is calling his name. But, you know, if you look at the story of Jesus was like that, too. By the time he died, he only had 12 friends, and some of them were suspect, and one of them was the one that betrayed him. The only real people he had that was backing him was the sisters, his mother, and Mary Magdalene. When all came in, it was the women that took the blood and sweat off his brow and tapped him with a towel to make sure that he was able to do it. It was a brother, black man, that gave him a little bit of water as he was going to, as they were marching him to his death. See, Jesus, we look at Jesus as some hero now. But when he was living, they thought the man was crazy. They said, so you the Son of God, huh? You the Son of God, huh? Okay, I'm going to put a crown of thorns on your head since you were king. And they drove nails into that brother's head. That's the Jesus. He was scorned. Even his people turned against him. They had this guy named Barabbas. Barabbas was a thief. He messed with people. He committed crime. He was in prison. And when it came time, they always had this thing where they would forgive somebody. They would let somebody go. They would let somebody go. And so they came before the people and said, okay, here we have Jesus. And here we have Barabbas. One of them we're going to set free. One of them is going to die. Which one do you choose? And the people chose Barabbas. Free Barabbas and crucify Christ. Does that story sound familiar? Our story is the story of Jesus Christ. It is a wonderful metaphor for who we are as a people. But you know, like Jesus, we'll rise too. All we got to do is keep on keeping on. So when we're looking for our heroes and that's it. When you're looking for your heroes and sheroes, don't look for penthouse apartments. Don't look for great leaders. Go under a bridge. Because chances are, if Jesus was alive today, he probably would be in a cardboard box under a bridge. I'm speaking metaphorically now.
And that is a fact.
That note, we're going to let that marinate with the people. And we're going to play a little song for you.
Oh, this DJ.
Let's see what I got on the ones and twos for you guys this evening. Hold on a second. Let me see. Let me see what I got. Let me see what I got.
Put more dips in your hips and cut in your strut and glide in your stride. There we go.
All right. Well, I'm still not seeing the original, but we just gonna, you know, we're gonna go off the cuff and you know, this is dedicated.
Wait.
You know, huh?
You refreshed it? You refreshed it?
Wait. Refresh the. Hold
you
on. Let me see.
F5? I think it's F5.
Hold on. Let me see.
This is a great song.
A little technical difficulties here. Thank you, listeners, for, you know. No, I still don't see it. But we going to do it. We're going
to
do it.
Top of the computer.
Yeah, no, I did. That's what I did.
Oh, okay.
So, let's see. All right, Daddy, I'll let you choose, you know, Oh, actually, you know what? We're going to play this. So everybody, you know, sit back, relax, and enjoy, and we'll be back.
Go ahead, Miss DJ.
Oh, the pirates, yeah. was molested, but my hand was made strong. By the end of the Almighty, we forward in this generation, triumphantly. Would you keep the sin? Another song of slavery, none but ourselves can free our mind. Have no fear for atomic energy, 'cause none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Some say it's just a part of it.
There we go.
You know, I had to play a little Bob Marley for them.
There we
Every
go.
Every chance I get, you know that that's the song I'm going to play.
That's it. That's it. No doubt. Great selection.
Thank you. Thank you. You know, for the people listening, you know, tell them a little bit about the background for that story. The best storyteller would be you, Daddy. Tell them about the redemption song.
Oh, hey, that's the key. That's the last song on his last album. And I've often said, if you really want to understand the purpose of a prophet's life, go to the last thing that he or she did. And that'll tell you why they put it on the platform. And when you listen to the words of that song, it encapsulates our experience.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different versions of it, but that single version that I have, that we, most of us have, where it's just him and the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It tells a story. It tells a phenomenal story. It's like a change is going to come. It tells a story.
Mm-hmm.
And it encapsulates a people's experience. And Redemption Song was, the words to the song was just so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And like Chadwick, Bob Marley died younger than Chadwick. I think I think he was 36.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, I believe, I could be wrong. I stand corrected if I am, but I believe he was 36 years old. It was what, 1980, 1981 sometime. But I believe he was 36 when he joined the Ancestors. And he was just a phenomenal. And the other thing to remember about Bob Marley is that
you're right.
He was
36. What?
36. Yeah. Bob Marley is my hero. He is. When I first heard of him in 1975. Oh my goodness! When the brother, it was a Hispanic brother that held up the album Naughty Dread. He said, "You ever heard of this brother before?" I had never heard of him before. And he gave me the album because I was writing reviews for the magazine. And he said, can you review this album? Tell me what you think. You know, we'll write up a report in the magazine. It was called Latin New York. And so I listened to it, and I wrote a report on that album, Nati Dread, Dem Belly Fool, But We Hungry. Oh, my goodness. Positive Vibration. I was just all
wow.
up in it. And from that point
wow.
on, 1975, I bought every album. I saw him in concert twice.
Mm.
And this brother
wow.
was just, he was just it. He is very much like Chadwick Boseman, as what he gave
mm-hmm.
us as a community, what he gave us
mm-hmm.
as a people. We all have to recognize that there are those that are amongst us that are doing great things. And Bob Marley was one of them. And
wow.
I will forever be grateful for what that brother contributed to us in music, in poetry, and just perspective. A lot of respect for him.
But so many people are young, and it's so evident, because even I didn't realize that Sam Cooke, when you hear a change is going to come, you don't realize how young he is by his voice. I didn't
mm-hmm.
even realize that he was only 33 when he passed away.
Yeah.
Wow. Really?
Yes, he was only 33 years old. But when you listen to the songs, you feel like they're older.
Yes.
You feel like the message that they're trying to give you is like they're it's like they're an old soul. And you don't realize.
And that,
you know, I didn't realize how young Bob Marley was. You
mm-hmm.
don't even think to Google it. Like, you don't even think to pay attention to it. You just,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had no idea that Sam Cooke was 33. Like, I was
yep.
shocked when
wow.
I found that out. Shocked. I was
yep.
shocked. I'm shocked to find out Bob Marley was only 36 years old. Like, that's crazy. I did not even pay attention. Because all you hear is the message. You don't see them as being young because the message makes them seem older.
Wow.
Like, when I found out Sam Cooke was only 33, I was shocked.
But
it's something inside of their soul that makes them, they're not, you know, they're not like their peers. They're different from
mm-hmm.
their peers. And, you know, that's just the way it is. Sometimes you listen to people
yeah.
and it's like, how old are you? Like, where are you from? What is going on?
Yeah. It takes a different type of person to be able to do what these amazing individuals have been able to do. And in such a short period of time.
But that was the time they were given to do it.
Yeah.
That's the time that we're given to do what we do.
Oh, man. I don't remember if he said it in a different part of the Howard interview or if he said it and part of it that we played. But there was one part that Chadwick was saying something like, you're here on Earth at this particular time for a particular reason. And I can't remember if it was the part that we played or if it was a different part, but it was just so relevant to what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he was explaining it, you felt like somebody was talking to you. What are you going to say, Daddy?
Everybody's born, and from the moment they're born, they begin to die.
Mm.
You're heading, the moment you're born, you're heading towards your destiny.
Mm.
And you have to live your life. You have to live every moment. I don't say live it like you're going to, like you're thinking about dying, but I'm saying you got to live your life as if it were your only day to live. And you have to do everything
yeah.
you were meant to do in that day.
Yep.
No
yep.
distractions. You don't look around to see who's stopping you. You don't
mm-hmm.
try to create things. Live your life. Live your life.
Mm-hmm.
Celebrate the fact that you're here. Enjoy that you're here. And do your best. And Chadwick, in 43 years did what he was born to do. Malcolm X in 39 years did what he was born to do. Martin Luther King in 39 years did what he was born to do. Sam Cooke did what he was born to do. Bob Marley did what he was born to do. They were given a gift to give to the world, and they gave it to us. And I mourn, in a sense, a loss of a great human being, because in my life I've lost so many great human beings. I know what loss is. But nobody said it better than Caress yesterday, because we have to talk to our children about Chadwick Boseman, because we may not realize it, because we know that Black Panther is a fictitious character, but for some children, he was real. Mm-hmm. He was real for some people. And we have to talk to children about how they feel about losing him. We grieve in an adult way. Children grieve in a child's way.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Caress say, Sasha?
He said he's not going to, because it actually, the conversation started because we were supposed to watch Black Panther, and I was just making sure that he was going to be okay. He said, when we watch it, I'm not going to cry because I know he's still in my heart.
Okay.
So that was his response.
That's what an 8-year-old
said. And that's, yes, and that's important.
But
that's,
you see,
important.
We have to ask our children, because for some children, they wouldn't react like that. For some children, their superhero has died.
They're in tears.
And they actually feel that something of themselves, because he became so much a part of their life, children see it as a part of their life, is no longer there.
Yep.
We have to have conversations about death. Everybody lives to where they were meant to go for whatever reason. Live your life. One thing I got from Chadwick Boseman was he became more of a superhero when I found out more about him when he transcended than the admiration I had for him when he was still alive.
Yeah.
And I just admire that brother for what he did for us. I've lived through chemotherapy. When I say that, I mean I've lived with people who went through chemotherapy on a daily basis. Your grandmother, my mother. I lived in the same home. Your mother lived in the same home. Watching what chemotherapy does to the human body.
Yeah.
So for him to be able to do those feats of action, ill, chemotherapy, other types of radiations that he would take. For him to do that, that was superhuman. He was a superhero. He was a superhero
and,
in ways,
you know,
that I know.
Yeah. And you know what? You know what you say is so true. But I think that people were getting the wrong idea about that, because there was people that were coming out and was like, oh, he's not, you know, he's not special because he did this, and there's some people that can't do it. But it's important to realize that I've been around people that have gone through similar situations, like, or gone through something where they felt like their days might be numbered, so they have to do what makes them happy because they don't know how long they have to live. And that's the message behind it. Like what you're saying, the things that he did were the things that were in his heart. Like people, I've seen people get the wrong idea about that and make it seem like, oh, you have to fight the way he fought in order to be seen as a superhero. But I think you just have to fight the way that you know best and to not give up on life just because you go through, because it's easier said than done. And I can say it from my experience, but I just hope that anybody I'm ever around or any conversations to be had, it's important to realize that you have to do what fulfills your life until you have no breath in you. And that's from what you're saying, that's what I'm getting. Like he did what made him happy until he had no more breath in him. And that's the most important thing, is because he didn't give up and he continued to do what he was doing. So I think that people need to realize that and understand it and make sure that they realize that fighting and doing what he did physically is not what made him the hero. What made him the hero was that he didn't give up and he did what he did. So what you like what you say is so important. And as a hero, that's what it is. He didn't give up on the things that he loved to do. And that's so important. Mm-hmm. And I just hope that everybody got that message from, you know, from calling him a hero. Because sometimes people take things the wrong way. Because there's people that don't feel like they can fight the way he fought that are going through chemotherapy and stuff. But the most important thing that people need to understand, regardless of what they're going through, is that continue to do what makes you happy until you're no longer breathing. And I think that's what's most important.
Love life. Love life and live love.
Right.
And that's what he did. And we all come with our own way of handling our situation. No one's trying to be like him except to love life as he did.
Exactly.
And to evolve and not attempt to put other pressures on other people. And so he private life to himself and he lived his life.
Mm-hmm.
He did what he had to do. He's joined the ancestral line. We all will be there one day. He did what he had to do. Now the question becomes, are we doing what we're supposed to do? Salute the brother. I salute Chadwick. I salute Malcolm. All of the brothers and sisters who stood and did what they had to do, I salute them. I soul-lute them. S-O-U-L-U-T-E. Live your life. However you live your life, just live it. Enjoy it. No matter what goes on, just enjoy it until that last moment. Because guess what? We're all going to be there one day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all going to live our life our own way, doing our own thing. Tell you this. For as long as I knew my mother, your grandmother, as she was going through her treatments for the 2 years, give or take, of what she went through, I never once heard her complain.
Wow.
And if anyone would have heard a complaint, it would have been me because I was the one she spoke to most. I never heard her complain at all. This was her life. She was 62, going on 63. This was her life. This is what she did. And she attempted to do and live her life. And that's what I remember. So Chadwick Boseman having the ability to do that is not far-fetched for me because I came from a woman that was exactly like that. She went to church every Sunday. She went to church every Sunday. She continued to give to St. Jude's. She was given to St. Jude's years before she contracted cancer. And I watched her live her life until her last breath. And that's what I live for. Live your life. I am blessed. I have reached an age beyond her. I've been blessed. I've reached an age beyond Chadwick and Bob Marley. I'm blessed. I've lived this long. And I just appreciate life. I appreciate coming on and being able to talk to my daughters on a program like this. I enjoy this. It brings me joy and happiness. As it relates to Heru, our, you know, your brother, our son, same exact thing. Enjoy life. One day this will no longer be. What you leave on the earth is your memories. What what will people say of you when you join the ancestors? How will they remember you? What will they say? How will they laugh, joke, and enjoy? What will they say when they tell stories about you?
Yeah.
So what? So that's the question. So I salute Chadwick. for all his accomplishments and all the things that he did. And if I am to honor that brother, the only way I can honor him is to continue in his excellence. That's the only thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
You can light all the candles. You
That's
can buy
perfect.
All the flowers. You can do all that.
That's
just
perfect.
The messenger. It's his message.
That
what
is
did
perfect.
He tell
mm-hmm.
me? He said, keep on keeping on, because it ain't over till we win.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't even know if I have anything else to say. I
yeah.
It's all good.
You know, you just gotta enjoy what you have, appreciate what you have, live life like tomorrow's not promised because it's not promised, and you know, just do the things that you want to do, and you know, if it's starting off by just going to a restaurant that you want to get, buying your favorite dish that you want to enjoy, you know, just start off. It doesn't have to be anything big. It could be just something that makes you smile, makes you happy, makes you, you know,
mm-hmm.
bring back memories, you know, calling somebody that you haven't spoken to in a while and, you know, reminiscing or, you know, just doing things in life that you want to do versus doing things that are forced upon you. You feel the need to, or you struggle to be able to even muster up the energy to do it. Do things that make you happy, you know, because stress, anxiety, anger, frustration, you know, it's easy to get to those points. It's harder to be in the happy moment. So just enjoy the happy moments, take it in. You know, stop looking at social media. Don't focus on what other people are doing, where they are within their life, because you don't know their story. Just focus on you, improving you, understanding you, and moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I got.
Perfect.
That's all you need, Ms. DJ.
That's all I got for you. All right, now we back at it again. You know, let me cue this song up for the ending of the show. So, people, you know, just let the people know, give them your final remarks, and we're off.
Well, one thing I'd like to say in ending is that my book, Spirituality Before Religions, is now on Kindle. You
That's
can
right.
download
oh,
it
get that plug in.
At Amazon.
Get
so
that
keep,
plug in.
So keep that in mind. You can travel with it on the bus, on the train, listen to it, enjoy it, and you'll be able
you
to see
it.
When I said it, I mean, you can read it anywhere. You can carry Spirituality Before Religions anywhere you go.
That's right.
In your pocket.
You
if
don't
you,
gotta.
If
you,
you
don't
have
gotta
it on your
get
computer,
ready, because you stay ready.
There we go.
And if you have it on your, if you have Kindle on your computer, you can read it on your computer. And then if you have to run out the house, once you open up the Kindle on your phone, it'll suggest that you go to the page that you was last reading. So
there
woo,
we go.
Very convenient.
Woo!
That's it.
All right
good.
Now, okay. So all you sly fellas, and all you I can't think of something to say. All you. Your sexy feline, you know, just kick back, relax, and listen to
what?
The sounds of our next song.
Oh, my God.
Oh, put more dips in the hips, more cut in the strut, more glide in your stride.
OMG.
Oh, my goodness.
OMG.
And if you can't dig that, then you got a hole in your soul, and you don't eat chicken on Sunday.
Oh.
Come on, don't make me go back to WWRL. Wait a minute now. This
Oh, my gosh. That reminds me of Christian. Christian was funny. So we took him to, short story, we took him to Clyde Frazier's. And we were just saying all of the different things that Clyde has said over the years. And then he wanted to go back there. And he was like, Auntie, can you take me to... like he was, I forgot the exact saying it was, but it was so funny. And we were just like, what? What are you talking about? But he remembered the different things that we were saying. We were like, you know, similar to what Daddy was saying, like the different rhymes that go, you know, together. And he just said, can we go to? And I started laughing because I understood. And I was like, oh, you want to go to Clyde Frazier's, right? He said, yeah, that's where. So that just reminded me of Catchphrase Jones.
Wow.
Clyde Frazier and Catchphrase Jones.
Wow.
All right, so this is the song. So, cold tap, stay safe, stay happy, stay energized, and just stay you.
And live.
That's right. Cold tap fam.
Cold tap family. Cold tap fam.
Cold tap.
Got my wings, got my love. Got my wings.